Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have Vernon Dozier. He is a service station operator. The price of gas is one penny shy of a record. Nationally, $1.74 a gallon. We'll be talking with him about that. Justin McElroy is a Bay Area high school student who has formed an organization for kids counseling other kids who come from, like, dysfunctional homes. We'll talk with him. And also, we have a Life Imitates Phil later on in the hour. And we've got a visit from David G. Hall and a flashback. A lot of stuff. Also would like to address something in the news today about, like, they're going to eliminate smoking in movies and how this all relates to, seriously, it, like, relates to the campaign. It relates to this view we have of ourselves as superhuman and being able to, you know, solve all the problems. But I just wanted to make one little public service announcement. It's really hot in Los Angeles these days, and I know it's cold in many parts of the country. Out in the West Coast, today was like 90-something in the valley. And I just would like to once again make a plea, knowing that it will fall on deaf ears and there will be nothing done about it. But I want to again address the situation vis-a-vis traffic and just simply say this. If you're afraid to drive on a freeway, if you don't like to go real fast, if you want to creep along at 40, if you want to get on the freeway going 40 miles an hour, just a word to some of the many fine people we have visiting the beautiful Golden State. Many of you come out to see Universal Studios. Many want to see Disneyland. Visit the Walk of Fame. Have fun in our fair town. Remember, when you're in California, you don't stop at the end of an on-ramp before you get on the freeway. You will murder human beings when you do that. When you stop at the end of the on-ramp and kind of look and wait for the traffic to get clear, human beings die horribly in flaming collisions. That's number one. Then once you get on the freeway, either do 55 or take a surface street, my man. Creeping along with that self-assured smirk on your face, with hands at 10 and 2 o'clock, at 60 or 55 in the fast lane, where the law once again dictates, no matter what the speed limit, you must yield to faster traffic behind you. That only serves to irritate human beings. Oh, I don't know, guys like me. And the next time some guy pumps his brakes when I hit the brights on him, it's on. It's on, if I may be so bold. Guy's just motoring along there at about 55, 60, but he believes that he's empowered by the law to do the speed limit even in the far left-hand lane. No, you're not. Oh, I see. Well, you know what, Phil? I think I'll just do it to make people angry. All right, okay. Well, then, if you want to do it to make people angry, to feel that you're well within your rights, well, then you're going to have to reap the whirlwind, my brother. I don't know what that's going to be, but I don't want to be around when it happens. And when some guy comes up behind you and you're motoring along at 55, 60, even if you're doing 90, there's faster traffic behind you, and you pump your brakes when he hits the brights to ask you to move over, you might as well just stick a loaded gun in your mouth with like a couple of shells in the chamber and just spin it, man, and see if it comes up roses. Because you're playing, I don't know. It's hot, baby. People want to get where they're going. Nobody's asking anybody to break the law. I'm asking people to be within the law. And being within the law also means doing a speed limit. And if you can't do it, get out of there. Get out of the way. Take a surface street. Go motor along one of the side streets at a grandma pace of about 35. In fact, most of the grandmothers I see around here, they're doing well past that. But you get out of our lives, and especially when I'm trying to get on a freeway. You going along at about 35 miles an hour, and we're trying to merge onto that 405, which is already the worst nightmare of a freeway in the history of the planet. Remember, I was talking about this like 5-6 years ago. They had to blow that 405 up. And guess what? Yes, it came out in the news about 3 weeks ago. The busiest interchange on the planet Earth. On the planet Earth. The 405 and the 101. Where is that, guys? Oh, about 300 yards right away from where I'm talking right now. Right over here. Right behind me. And I got Sadie going along there, and forgive me, folks, but yes, she's got the little Oregon license plate or the Illinois license plate or the Michigan license plate or the Missouri license plate, and she's doing 35, and she's looking around like she's just landed on Mars, man, like she's looking for the rover. And meanwhile, you're trying to get merge onto that Ventura Freeway going northbound at a safe speed, and it's like hitting the beach at Normandy. I mean, it must have been what it was like at Da Nang in 65. You just don't know whether you're going to live through it or not. That's just a little request. As I said, I know it falls on deaf ears. The more you complain about it, the more people think they're empowered. I'm going to stay in the fast lane, and I'm going... See, just because you're surrounded by an automobile doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden Superman. That's just the facts. And I'm not going to take any calls on it. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I know exactly what the law says. And the law says, get your fat, ever-widening rear end out of that fast lane and make way for faster traffic. Especially you guys in your RVs. Especially you clowns in your big jacked-up trucks. Your big airplane meat trucks with your little tiny Toyota body on the top of it. Do you understand that women laugh at you? Seriously. Every woman that I've ever known in my life giggles when she sees a guy in a truck like that because she realizes that he's making up for a woeful underdevelopment in another part of his anatomy. With that big, big freaking set of meats and the little Toyota body on top of it. Just because you're up high in that big truck does not necessarily mean you're freaking Sonny Barger. All right, now here is something in the news. This relates directly to what's going on with this election and so many other things. There is a story now that there's a group that wants to eliminate smoking in PG films. They just don't want smoking in PG films. They want to get rid of all of it. If it's going to be smoking, make it an R-rated film. I started thinking about this and how a day does not pass without someone complaining about some aspect of society. It needs to change, and it needs to change now. Not tomorrow, not in 2 weeks, now. We must have gay marriage now. We must get rid of smoking in the movies. We must do this. I support many, many things, and I'm willing to see them through. But all of a sudden, our society has got to get it all done now, and if we don't get it done now, it's someone's fault. Because after all, our ego... If you think about this, the ego of the American people is beyond all records. We have such a high opinion of ourselves. We think if we can't solve a problem, there has to be a conspiracy. We think that if we can't cure cancer, it's because there's some kind of a conspiracy. After all, we've thrown all kinds of money at it, and doesn't that solve all the problems? Well, I was told that it doesn't, but some people, I guess, think it does. It depends on which day of the week and which pair of capris we're wearing as to what we want to believe. Well, are we wearing our pink socks today or our black socks? We got to solve everything today because we think we're that capable. We think we're something special. We think this generation of human beings on this planet is the greatest thing that's ever been around, and we ought to be able, we should be, why haven't we come up with goblin juice that makes us invisible yet? Why don't we have an invisibility ray? Why haven't we cured all the poverty? Why haven't we wiped out all of the hunger? Why haven't we wiped out all the disease? Why is there still this? Why is there still that? And if 9/11 did happen, how come it did happen? There's got to be a conspiracy. It couldn't have happened because we're perfect. We're perfect, man. We're so bitchin'. By the way, FCC, little note, that's not an obscene word that I just used. That's a colloquial description to say something's really good. We are just so all of this and that, that no matter what the problem is, we ought to be able to solve it. That's how much we think of that's how much our stuff doesn't stink. That's how just great this generation of human beings is. Well, there's a homeless guy. What did you just say? I said there's a homeless guy. Why? I guess he doesn't have... You're telling me that there's a homeless guy down the street? Something's got to be done. Whose fault is it? Or as Howard Cosell used to say, who screwed up? I've got to know. 9/11 didn't happen just because there were people who are simply evil. And it doesn't matter how great we are, they want to take us down. No. It's a conspiracy, man. Didn't you hear? Haven't you read all the papers? It's got to be a conspiracy, because that simply can't happen to us. And if it did happen to us, somebody screwed up really bad, and they're a really no, they're not just bad, they're evil. No, they're not even evil, they're liars. They're scum. They're ridiculous. They're the worst president we ever had, the worst administration we ever had. Oh, my God. I went back and I looked at John Kerry's comments after 9/11. I'm telling you, folks, I'll read them to you if you want me to, and I'd really rather not, because it's just dull reading long stretches of copy. But this guy was as vague, and when he wasn't vague, he was not only in support of what Bush was doing, he didn't think Bush was going far enough. It was on September, whatever it was, Janice, the 21st, that the president instituted some banking restrictions and regulations to try to freeze and otherwise ferret out terrorist money in the United States. Oh, what was Kerry's big line? It's good. I support with the. It's not going far enough. He went on to say we should bully, we should pressure, we should get right up into the faces of every foreign government that is allowing terrorist money to funnel through their banking systems. John Kerry wanted us to get right up close and personal with our big fat noses in everybody's face. He wanted us to be tough. Tell you something right now, man. Bush, I think, made him look like a jackass yesterday. He says, yeah, John Kerry believes in a lot of stuff, just not for very long. One minute he's in favor of invading Iraq, the next minute he ain't. Apparently this is his excuse. I'm supporting the invasion of Iraq. I just don't think we did it the right way. Yeah, that just about covers all the bases, doesn't it? For any pea brain out there, man, that pretty much solves all the problems. But we also have clean air that we got to get to. We got an environment that we got to get to. We got jobs we got to get to. We got all this stuff that we got to get to. And we got to be able to do all of that while bailing out the airline industries, which went right in the tank after 9/11, by getting more jobs going after all of the jobs went south after 9/11. You remember, people weren't traveling, people weren't buying, people weren't doing anything, man. They were staying in their cellars. So we got to be able to get that going, and at the same time clean up the air, and also at the same time make sure that we have pure water, and also at the same time let's get that healthcare thing going. Boy, I'll tell you, it is easy to go after a guy when he's got his hands full of nothing but dog do. Hey, man, why you got your hands full of dog do? Why don't you clean them up, man, and start serving the hors d'oeuvres? Because I just got somebody dropping dog do in my hands. Well, get them cleaned up and let's start serving the hors d'oeuvres. Let's get back to America as usual. And then, of course, I say I'm a Democrat, but I empathize with any president, Democrat or Republican, that has had to deal with what President Bush has had to deal with, and all of a sudden I'm some kind of a turncoat, that I don't get it. Why aren't I on the bandwagon? Why don't I think he's the dumbest thing that ever came down the pike? Why don't I think the guy's as dumb as Georgia Clay? Why don't I just jump on the bandwagon and pile on and call the guy evil, call him a liar, call him a cheat, call him a this, call him a that? He's got to be in bed with these Saudis. How else could 9/11 happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Because George Bush did it on purpose, because we're so perfect a country that only conspiracies can create bad things here. We're not just a country like any other nation struggling through its history. If you read history, if anybody in this country actually ever picked up a book and read one, which I, you know, did you see the movie? Okay, that's good enough. They're going to make a movie about the history of this country. Maybe people go see it. I don't know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You understand what all nations through the history of time have to struggle with. It isn't all about just, we're so fantastic that if something bad happens, somebody lied. I'll tell you who's lying, man. Anybody that stands there and says, a leader of a nation who is trying to keep A, everybody from going ape crap after 9/11, B, keeping people from panicking after the anthrax attacks, C, trying to get the airlines back up and running, trying to get the tourism trade up and running, trying to get the jobs back after the worst assault on our economy probably in history when trillions of dollars were lost internationally after the attacks on 9/11, get all of that stuff going and clean up the air and get the jobs going and get the health care going and get all of that stuff going. If you can't do it all, Bush, then you are not only a bad president, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a thief, and John Kerry to the rescue. If anybody believes that, I feel so sorry for you. You ought to be shot like a dog just to put you out of your misery. Somebody ought to just put your paw right up there on the examining table and we'll pump you full of sodium pentothal. You ought to be put down, man, because there's no hope. God forbid we see this country in realistic terms like any other country, but you know, that there's a lot of people out there that just hate us for no good reason. Yeah, it happens. Why would they hate America? We must have done something to them. Well, yeah, we could have. And then there's just evil freaking people, dude. They just hate us, man. Well, why? There's no reason. Why would anyone hate you? I don't know. Why are women beaten? Why are children abused? Did they deserve it? Did they do something? Well, we're not women. We're not children. We're all grown up and all big and special. Well, sometimes just a regular guy going down to the ATM to withdraw cash gets whacked. Freaking guy gets taken out. What was he doing wrong other than taking some money out of the ATM? He must have deserved it. He must have done something wrong. He must be evil. Why am I a Democrat that supports George Bush? Because I'm not a flaming idiot. I mean, I'm stupid. On any given day, I'm about as dumb as you get. But, baby, I ain't so stupid that I can't see the freaking handwriting on the bathroom stall door. All right, anyway, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have a little feature that we run every now and again called Life Imitates Phil. The reason why we do that is on our show, over the years, we have had characters, guests come on and talk about things that they've experienced. And, of course, these are little theatrical bits that we do. And come to find out, those things actually happen in life 2-3 years later. We have another example of that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Life Imitates Phil. We also have Vernon Dozier, a service station owner, who says that if you complain about the price of gas, you're insulting him and calling him a thief. Justin McElroy is on to say there are so many dysfunctional parents, the only way to really connect with your kids is to buy them stuff. And Justin, I don't know, he's a senior at, I don't know, Dumbbell High School in Northern California. He's there, and he'll be with us. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. They're still debating this. I can't believe they're still debating over whether Bush ought to have images of 9/11. Some of the families didn't like it. Yeah, well, some of them did. You know, the guy was president, and I saw kind of a funny thing today. He said, hey, you know what Bush did that he shouldn't have done? He showed images of 9/11, and he actually told people he was president when it happened. He shouldn't have put president in front of his name. It's been private citizen George Bush talks to firefighters in New York. Is it a paint? And here's the one that I almost laughed myself until one of my private things that are round came up through my esophagus and out my mouth. I almost laughed that hard when I heard someone say, it's painful and people don't want to be reminded of it. Let me tell you what, Mr. and Mrs. America, and many of you people agree with what I'm saying, so anybody out there, I hope you never forget it. I hope you have nightmares about it until the day you die. I hope we all do. It's painful and people don't want to be reminded? You better get reminded. You better eat it, sleep it, crap it, drink it, everything, man, because that is the next century. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's going to happen or not, whether it ain't hip enough, whether it's too slow, whether it's too uninteresting, whether it ain't exactly American Idol, whether it ain't exactly The Apprentice, whatever it is, whatever it am, baby, a cow don't make ham, to quote the great Frank Zappa. You better live it, man, because it's too painful to remember. Well, fan my brow and ring-a-ding-ding. Damn right it's painful. You better believe it's painful. How'd you like to live in Brooklyn? How'd you like to be going to work downtown every day in New York? Painful? You got to look at that every day. The rest of America can sit there on their thumb and pretend it didn't happen and vote for John freaking Kerry or make glib jokes about a president who may not be the brightest guy in the world, may not be the brightest bulb in a tree, may not be the best president. No reason to hate a man. Let me put it into better terms. Anybody want my liberal credentials? While John Kerry was over in Vietnam machine-gunning Vietnamese, I was smoking dope and practicing free love, okay? So there you go. Then all of a sudden, Kerry, like a lot of people, he's Mr. Johnny-come-lately to the whole thing. He gets back and says, oh, wow, the Vietnam War was bad. Not only that, but I guess America's evil, too. You want to hear more of this bullcrap? You can order the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, 2003, The Death of Talk Radio. Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com or 8... Oh, forget it.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for Life Imitates Phil. These are news stories that are recently surfacing, reflecting, oddly enough, something we did on our show a whole long time ago. Is life imitating Phil, or are we just prognosticative in our abilities here? Well, here is a letter. It comes from Mike B. It says, "Hey, Phil, here it is, the real-life manifestation of a Steve Bozell has his daughter dance for his friends bit. Not only did this guy give alcohol to preteen kids, but he's encouraged the girls to engage in dirty dancing and awarded one of the girls $5 for being the best dirty dancer. You're the best, Mike B." This is Mike's story that he emailed to us. This happened in Newark, New Jersey. A Newark man with 4 drunken driving convictions admitted in court on Monday to providing alcoholic beverages to 8 children ages 11 and 12 at his daughter's birthday party. Jeffrey L. Yingling was found guilty of... Why'd you pause there, Phil? Do you want to make sure everybody knew that he was Chinese? Maybe. Jeffrey L. Yingling was found guilty on 8 misdemeanor counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor in Licking County Juvenile Court. Get out of here. You're from Jersey. You ever heard of Licking County? Have you been Licking County? Stay away from her. I'm kidding. Oh, here we go. The FCC. Anybody want to tape that and send it off? 8 charges. Each charge carries a 6-month jail sentence and or a $1,000 fine. Yingling could be sentenced to 48 months in jail. He said, "I'm sorry, and I did it." Apparently, this guy had a bunch of kids, and then he gave the girls $5 apiece for the best dirty dancer. 11 and 12-year-old kids, right? Finally, he gets rid of all the empty bottles and tells the kids not to say anything. You bet. Well, folks, oddly enough, Steve Bozell was on our show a couple of years ago anyway. He wanted to have a very clean bachelor party for a friend, so he asked his daughter to dance for his friends instead of a stripper. Here it is, Steve Bozell as Life Imitates Phil.
I want to make a comment to the gentleman. You know...
Yes, sir.
You asked your daughter to dance for you. Please don't do that on my cell phone. You asked your daughter to dance for you.
No.
But you asked her to dance jazz and classical and
yes,
whatnot.
Sir.
Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. But not for me. That's going to be for my nephew.
Wait a minute. Why would you ask her to wear a bathing suit to dance jazz and classical?
Because if you know anything about jazz dance, that's how they do it.
Jazz dancers wear a one-piece with leotards.
That's exactly right. That's exactly correct. I didn't ask her to wear a two-piece. I said you were a one-piece.
Okay, well,
I didn't say go over there and get f***ed up by Brian Husgrove either.
You're mentioning names that I could get sued.
I'm sorry?
You're mentioning people's names that I could get sued.
For what?
You're saying this guy f***ed daughter up, Brian Husgrove. Who the hell is he? I don't know.
If you knew he f***ed your daughter up and you haven't called the cops, that's child molestation, brother.
Wait a second. Isn't it reasonable for him to expect that at a bachelor party? Because women always come in with their foul ideas.
That doesn't matter, brother. Does not matter. She is 16 years old, and he put her hands on her.
That's right. You call the cops, and you have the guy put in jail, and then buy your daughter a decent dance outfit. And
you know what strikes me as funny is why does this man know so much about jazz dance? Do you know jazz dance, sir?
Yes, I do.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I consider myself well-versed as far as music and dance concerns.
All right, then you know the instinct is brought out by this.
That's a bunch of baloney.
What?
Okay,
you're
smoking way too much crack, brother. Way too much crack. You need to put the pipe down and think about what you've done.
Well,
okay, you've pimped your daughter out and basically allowed this guy to molest her in front of several of your friends. Okay, and whether it be at a bachelor party or not, she's 16 for one and should never have been asked to dance. Okay, you pimp her.
Well, you're right about one thing that I have.
I'm right about both of them.
Well,
you've got a child molester for a friend, and if you're protecting him, that makes you party to the child molestation. And as far as I'm concerned,
you sound like an intelligent man, but let me ask you something and try to deny. We have compiled numerous recordings that brings out the... And listen to this one, please. This is a classic example.
And what is this? What is this?
These are other songs that are played. This is what these strippers dance to, and all the women that, you know, break out the whipped cream.
Wait a minute. Wait, are you telling me that this song is played at a bachelor party you go to?
Well, of course. Isn't it the ones you go to?
Not lately, no.
You're spending way too much time by yourself, younger. Way too much time.
Way too much time by myself. I was just
wondering. Yes, if you honestly think that playing music would bring out, quote, a instinct in women, then you have a very sick,
right,
twisted sense about women. Okay?
I'll tell you what, sir.
Very
women,
sick and twisted.
Women hear this and their are like flapping wings.
I don't think so. I'll have you know, me and my wife grew up watching the Pink Panther, and at no point in our 11 or 12 years of marriage almost has she ever heard any one of those songs and dropped her underwear.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think Pink Panther stands for? Yeah. It's, now you start to put two and two together.
Are you ready for this guy? How about this guy? What do we think Pink Panther stands for?
Oh, both of you can drop straight down to Hades.
There you go. Life imitates Phil. Boy, that was a sick and twisted period in the history of our show. The Pink Panther theme. Steve Bozell. 1-800-449-8686. We thank Mike B. If you've got a Life Imitates Phil, you want to send us the story and a request, maybe we can dig it out for you. When was this from? I have no earthly clue.
November of 2000.
Huh? November?
Two? Yeah, November of 2002, I believe.
Oh, okay. So that would make it
2 years.
Thanks, bud. 2 years. All right, PHS at PhilHenryShow.com is our thing. Now, you know, I was telling you about how we got to solve every problem. We got to solve it now, and if we don't, there must be a fascist out there. There must be some rotten fascist who is an evil guy, right? Here's the one that makes me want to really chirp. The U.S. Armed Forces, apparently now they're doing a study that says 1 in 5 members of the U.S. Armed Forces is a heavy drinker, according to the Pentagon survey. Survey conducted in the fall of 2002 showed a rise in heavy drinking compared to the most recent similar survey in 1998. I don't know how to put this, but isn't there a war going on? I don't know. That's kind of just, I'm reaching, I realize. But does that have anything to do with it, maybe? 1998, no war. 2002, a war, more drinking. They're soldiers. Soldiers. Let them smoke. When those guys were rolling up in Iraq, I remember the first week of the war, and there were Marines at the side of the road with a big sign that said, "God, it, he smokes." I was waiting. I was just waiting to hear the complaining from people in the news media and the public. I didn't hear a word about that. I wonder what that was. I mean, isn't that a bad thing for kids to see that Marines smoke cigarettes and they had the big sign that says, "Got any smokes?" as the convoys are rolling north? Should CNN have edited that? Should Fox have edited that? Should we not have shown that to the children? Should it have been reserved till after 10 o'clock? I mean, have we lost our minds? The answer to all of the above, yes. And if we don't get cigarettes out of our lives, if we don't get it out of the lives of our armed forces, out of the Pentagon, out of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, if we get, then somebody must be a Nazi, and it must be Bush, and it must have something to do with his family loving the Saudis. I mean, this is exactly where we are. I'd like all of you anti-smoking people, seriously, I'm being very serious, walk up to any Marine or Army, so any guy in the service, and tell them to put their cigarette out. Yeah, go ahead. How about if they're smoking and it happens to be drifting into your airspace? Go ahead and tell them to put the cigarette out. Yeah, in your dreams, my brother. Now, when you have those guys on the side of the road there in Iraq with a big sign that says, "Hey, who's got smokes?" and that gets broadcast over the airwaves, why don't you call the FCC or somebody and say, "Oh my God, those nasty Marines are influencing my children to smoke," because they look brave, they look strong, which they are, they're great fighters, they're great Americans, which they are, but there's only one thing wrong. What's that? They smoke cigarettes, so they must be really evil, and would you please not show it on TV? Isn't that right? Isn't that what you want to do? Well, come on, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and push other people around and not go up to a Marine. Tell him not to smoke. Or is it just easier to push some people around than others? Is that it? The anti-smoking people in this country are nothing but a pack of bullies. And they're the kind of people that pick on people that are that they think they can pick on. But they won't walk up to some people who smoke and say anything to them. They won't walk up to, like, soldiers, sailors, Marines. They won't walk up to guys like that. Walk up to a cop and tell him to put his cigarette out. You want to know why there's an anti-smoking lobby in America? Because people have no life. They have no life. And because most people feel pushed around in their lives, they want desperately to find a venue where they can push somebody around. So if you don't smoke, the person you can push around is the smoker. You can walk up to him and say something about it. A guy you never met. Tell him all about his smoking habit, right? And yet, they want to take it out of the movies. They want to get rid of it, unless it's a historic figure who smokes, like Winston Churchill, right? Although we did have a stamp. We had a U.S. postage stamp that was popular back in the 90s, and it was of Robert Johnson, who was a great blues singer. And the photograph is famous, and it had Robert Johnson with his guitar and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Do you realize that we have people in our world today, in our country, who have the temerity to rewrite history, who have the enormous sack of American jewels dangling twixt, that they actually airbrushed the cigarette out of that photograph, thus altering history to conform to their view of the way life ought to be. That, my friends, is a textbook definition of totalitarianism and fascism. And it happened not under George Bush. It happened under the governorship of one of my favorite presidents, Bill Clinton. Am I blaming him for it? No. You know who I'm blaming for it? I'm blaming every puny little PTA out there that's got nothing better to do. They can't educate our kids, so what they'll do is just kind of dictate behavior. Every stupid little parent group that doesn't know anything about real education couldn't begin to put together a compendium of study materials for a school, but they're going to tell teachers how to teach, they're going to tell parents how to parent, they're going to tell everybody how to live, because they're so stupid they can't do anything other than say, put the cigarette out. And then they take a piece of history, a picture of a great American folk artist, somebody from our history who smoked cigarettes, with his guitar, and they airbrushed the cigarette out of there because these Nazis are going to rewrite history. George Orwell wrote a book about it. It was called 1984. In that book, they just take out whatever they didn't like. They just eliminated from history whatever they didn't like, whatever they didn't think was proper, whatever they didn't think was going to support the Big Brother thing, man. They just airbrushed it right out of the books. That is arrogance. I can't even imagine anybody in Soviet Russia having those kinds of guts. I can't imagine the Ayatollah, who am I, doing something like that. Why? Because they're smokers, and therefore, they're scumbags. And you can walk up to them and push them around, yeah? Well, the next time you see a bunch of Marines walking down the street in Oceanside who are on leave for a weekend, and they're walking down the street and they're puffing some cigarettes, and maybe they happen to be in the airspace of other people, walk up to them and tell them to put it out. Oh, you mean you're not going to do that? Oh, yeah. Well, I figured as much, but I thought I'd just go ahead and lay it out there for you. I just wanted to see just how far this idea of you're in my airspace goes. I guess guys like Phil Hendry and Chris Pelton and Janice Ngero, we're in your airspace. But if the guy happens to be wearing the uniform of Mother Green, well, you ain't going to say nothing to him. Yeah, uh-huh. I figured as much. And now they want to take it out. Do whatever the hell you want to do. Take it out of the movies. Half the movies you want to take cigarette smoking out of, frankly, I don't want to see. And that includes 101 Dalmatians. You ready for that? They didn't like the fact that Cruella DeVille smokes. Seriously. You loving that? Cruella DeVille. She's a made-up person. Like I said, man, we got to solve every problem, and we got to do it today because we are so arrogant as Americans, we think we can. Well, the fact is, we're pretty damn good, but we ain't that good, baby. We ain't beat cancer yet. Well, the reason why we didn't beat cancer? Oh, I forgot. It must be a conspiracy. That's how bitchin' we are. That's how brilliant we are. That's how perfect we are. That's how smart and wise and wonderful we are. That if we can't solve a problem, somebody has to be shot. Someone's got to go up on charges. God, I got so much I want to do today. I don't even want to interview Vernon Dozier. I want to just keep him out of my life. Anyway, we got Vernon Dozier coming up. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have a great idea, and I don't know if anybody wants to listen to me at the Mel Gibson Productions or Steven Spielberg Productions, but I think you could come out with a box set, The Passions of the Christ and Schindler's List, this, you know, for, in time for Easter, and you could say, here's what the Jews did to Jesus, but here's how the Christians got back at the Jews. The new Schindler's List, The Passions of the Christ box set, available now on DVD. At all warehouse records and tape stores. I'm just kidding about that, because, okay. Clark, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You talking to me?
No, I'm not.
Okay. It's hard to tell from here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got a question. I don't know if it's funny. I'm sure you'll make fun of me, but what makes you think you're still a Democrat? I'm curious.
Because I believe in the policy and the philosophy that government can be a constructive partner and not an intrusive entity in the life of business and society.
Okay, because
You have to start by asking yourself, what is a Democrat? When people ask me that, and that's not the first time I've been asked that, most people don't know what it is to be a Democrat. Are you a Democrat?
No, I'm not.
What are you?
Well, I'm actually officially unaligned.
Right,
and
sure,
and
that's that's another way of saying I don't really know what my politics are.
Well, my politics have to do with, I actually think that the I Feel Your Pain camp has gotten to the point where I Feel Your Pain starts to sound like I ought to have
Wait a minute,
pain.
What do you stand for?
Well, I stand for individual responsibility and individual opportunity.
Okay, so if a factory opens up next door to your house and is dumping toxic fumes down on your kids, there shouldn't be any government interference in that, should there?
No, I think that the government definitely has a regulatory responsibility, but that's not the same as sort of mandating and stepping into the lives.
Right, in other words, if someone's beating up a child, the government shouldn't step into that, should they? If a kid is hungry, a kid now, I'm not talking about a dad, a kid is hungry, we shouldn't step in there, should we?
I think at what level is a good
At what level
to
the
ask.
Kid is about to, the kid's starving. He doesn't have a parent and he's starving.
Well, is that a federal
problem?
No,
I'm not asking you. You got a kid that is homeless with no parent and no food. You're going to sit there and ask whether it's federal and local. The kid's dead now, Clark. Thanks a lot, man. See, you don't stand for anything, man. Before you call up and ask me what I stand for, and this goes for anybody listening, what do you stand for? Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. Jerk. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
This is not news to you guys. You know the story. The average retail price of gasoline's climbed 2 cents last week to $1.74. The gasoline story is always funny because it's one of the few times in life where they're not even giving us the. We got it before they got it. You know, we're going to the gas pump every day. We get it already. Analysts expect those same trends to be in place this summer. So gasoline is on the rise. The price of gasoline. We want to get on the air here. Service station owner-operator in the Los Angeles area, Mr. Vernon Dozier, the owner of a service and filling station in South Pasadena. Now, the price of gas, as I mentioned, Mr. Dozier, has gone up. It's a penny shy of the record. Here on the West Coast, it averages $2.26 a gallon. Energy costs will undoubtedly fuel probably a jump in inflation figures. You've operated your service station, sir, for how long? Could you say that again, sir? Say that again, sir. We didn't have you on the air. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I said it. It will be 23 years this June.
And you have regular customers, new customers. What are they saying about these gas prices?
Well, I'm a little bit different from most owner-operators, and we're trying to get other owner operators to join us in an effort to. I recognize that what I do for a living is providing people with the necessary resource and service, and I'm very proud of that. So many of our owner operators, I don't feel guilty about what I do or the prices I charge, and we have a lot of them that do.
So what is this effort? You're trying to get them to get together and.
Well, we're trying to try and elevate the image of the self-image of. Owner-operators, you find a lot of men and women that own service stations are always apologizing for the price of gasoline. I don't apologize for the way I make my living.
But then I would take from your answer that people are complaining about it, right? You must be hearing people complain more and more as of late about the price of gasoline?
Well, the idea that people would complain about the price of gasoline within earshot of the owner-operator of a filling station, I think is not right, because what you're doing is you're calling that person on some level dishonest. You are insulting him. And
well, how is that so? How if I say, look, the price is too high?
Well, by saying the price is too high, you're saying that there's something I can do about it. And maybe there is something I can do about it, but I feel that I charge a fair price. I can tell you, I don't know what other service station owners do, and I frankly, I don't care, but if you allow people to openly complain about your price and you're allowing them to call you a thief to your face.
So you believe it is that extreme?
Do I believe?
Well, the fact that anybody would complain about gasoline prices?
I discourage it, because if you let it go unchecked, then people get the idea that they can push you around or that they can do something about it. The consumer can't do anything about gas prices. You have to remember one thing, Phil. The gasoline price of oil, the price of oil is set, but what I charge at the pump is discretionary to a degree, and I do that because I want to make a living. I'm all that you have, the service, the owner-operator, the service station, filling station. So for you to start complaining about the price of gasoline to me, to my face, is a little bit like playing with fire.
Well, when you say playing with fire, you're saying that I'm not allowed to even, we do have free speech. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Well, we've got all kinds of free speech. You can call a man the N-word. You can call an African-American man a hateful, hateful thing like the N-word. You could call a Hispanic man the S-word. When you complain about the price of gasoline within earshot, whether you're out near the pump or whether you're inside the cashier station or buying candy or cigarettes, and I can hear that, that's like calling a black man the N-word. It is as insulting.
All right, I understand if you're an owner-operator and you're setting prices. Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. He is a filling station owner-operator. We've been asked not to mention...
Yeah, that is correct. The company I'm working for right now, because we're in the middle of a... there are a couple of legal restrictions.
All right, that's fine. Do you believe that oil is priced fairly? Let's talk about the wholesale level. Let's forget about gasoline.
Well, OPEC is doing what they have to do. The Arabs have every right to price the oil the way they want to, and when I used to hear people complain because they don't do it anymore at my service station. They are not only openly insulting me, but they openly insult the member states of OPEC, and they've been vilified in the past. I think a lot of it's been unfair. The Arabs are trying to make a living.
Well, you mentioned something about discouraging people from complaining.
That's correct.
Because because by complaining about the price of gas, people, it's not unlike calling a black man the N-word.
It is, when you complain about the price of gas, you are doing to a filling station owner-operator the same thing you do to a gay man by calling him the F-word, or a woman by calling her the C-word. I mean, these are extremely explosive things to do. But
you mentioned, so how do you discourage this, sir, and is this not an infringement upon my right of free speech?
Let's back up. I mean, somebody coming up to the register because it's a cash purchase, and they say something insulting like, boy, the price of gas is really going up, it's really going through the roof. And that's when you have to nip it in the bud, and it can be...
But doesn't he have that right?
He may think he has that right. He's not going to do it at my service station, because I'm not going to let someone call me the N-word. And it is...
Is that not over the top, sir? The N-word is a hateful word, as you accurately described it. It is something that has inspired violence.
Well, I can tell you I'll look that man in the eye. And you got to catch him in the eye. And I will say to him, I've said to him, you got a problem with that?
But if I go in to get a pack of cigarettes...
Let me finish, all right? Because most of the time, people will shake your hand and apologize.
But if I go in to get a pack of cigarettes or I go in to get myself a cup of coffee and I'm going to pay for my gas, I say, boy, the price of gas is going up. You take that as a grave insult.
That is correct.
And how do you discourage that? You what do you say?
It can be something as simple as just look at them. And you got to catch them in the eyes, I said, and you say, what seems to be your problem? I said it to a woman the other day. Many people, as you know, use their credit card to purchase at the pump when we don't have any regular register business. I can walk between the pumps just as if I'm taking a stroll. And if I detect people complaining about the gas price, I'll go over to them and simply say, you got some kind of a problem with me? You know, because there's another gas station down the street. Now, I heard this one lady say to herself, $45, oh my God, for a fill, something like that, oh, 45. And I walked over to her and I said, all right, that's one. You get that one for free because you're new here. But if I hear you comment negatively again about my pricing, I'm going to respectfully ask you to leave the station.
All right. Tell you what.
So what I'm saying, until you sell gas, you don't have any idea how it feels to have someone complain about the price of gas. It is like walking up to a Catholic and saying you're nothing but a fish eater, a mackerel eater, and you hate Jewish people. That's why we have tried to consolidate the service station operators.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, an owner-operator of a service station, about the price of gas. Sarah, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
Vernon?
Yes, ma'am.
You sound like a white supremacist. And you know what?
Well, ma'am, that's as intelligent as me saying you sound like a lesbian child molester.
I mean,
what is that supposed to mean?
So I complain about grocery prices?
Well, you just sound like a certain kind of person. I mean, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. But...
Is the lady there?
I'm here.
Did you call for a reason, ma'am?
I know. I'm trying to figure out what she's saying, too.
No, what did you want to say, ma'am?
Are you there?
Yeah, we're right here. What do you want?
Do you go to the grocery store and complain about grocery prices?
Yes, I do.
You do? And does the owner of the store come up to you and tell you that...
I don't know. That's,
you complain
his business.
Again,
that's his business.
Exactly, but you still complain about it, right?
Yeah.
Just
because he doesn't want to do anything about it doesn't mean that... See, in other words, if you want to sit still for it, that's your business, but I do something about it. Man, you can complain about whatever
you
want, but you complain about gas at my gas station. You can just take your car, your SUV, or whatever you drive, and you can go down the road to another station.
Where is your gas station?
All right, anyway, Sarah, thanks for calling. We can't say on the air.
Well, Vernon, I think if you announce your gas station on the air that you'd be closed within a week.
Well, no, I've got a lot of neighborhood.
I
got a lot of neighborhood business. I don't need you.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't get my gas there.
We don't have enough gas to fill up that gas hog you're driving, probably.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Vernon.
Yeah.
You just showed the world what ignorant people are really out there.
Next time, bring your husband, honey, because you ain't packing too much ammunition.
All right, hold on for a minute, because this is very argumentative and confrontational. Why is that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Because we have been putting up as service station operators for 25 years with people complaining about our prices. I'm not going to do anything about it. Why don't they do something about it? Why don't they write to congressmen? I may sound like a white supremacist, Sarah, but you sound just like a white suburban whiner.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. The whole idea of this provocation is what I don't understand, that you have to, that people can't even say, hey, the prices are too high. This man will order you out of his gas station because he says, if you complain about gas prices within earshot of the owner-operator, it's like calling a black man the N-word. 1-800-449-8686. The price of gas is at record highs across the country. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with an owner-operator who says prices may be going up, but he doesn't want to hear you complaining about it. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have Vernon Dozier on the line, one of many independent owner-operators of service stations across the country on the price of gas. It's at record highs. You publish an in-industry journal for independent owner-operators, sir? I'm sorry, Mr. Dozier?
Yes, sir.
You publish an owner-operator journal?
It is. It's a news journal for owner-operators. Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Under the headline here, under the heading, it was a column that you wrote, What You Can Do to Help, you describe a woman who you said you put her at about 75 years of age?
Well, hold on for a minute. Rather than have you describe it, can I tell you, because
I was just reading the article.
Well, what happened was a lady who was elderly, and I saw her. She had been walking probably across the freeway overpass over here on Darcy, and I went up to the lady. I said, can I help you? She had a gas can. She said, I need to fill up. I ran out of gas. She looked elderly.
Well, you said 75?
I put her age about 75, yes, sir.
And then what?
She said, my God, something along the lines. Once again, I'm there to help her. I eagerly wanted to get the gas can and fill it up, and then she basically just walks up. It's almost like my children used to do. They'd pick their nose and flick it on each other. Something childish like that. And this is what she did to me. Figuratively, she pulled one out of her nose and flicked it on me by saying to me, my God, the prices are high. And I said, something, Grandma? You can take your gas can and you can walk on down the highway. Now, the nearest station to me is a Sunoco, and that's probably another good, I'd say, 900 to 1,000 yards away.
This is under the heading, sir, of what you can do to help.
That is correct. To stand up for yourself and not let people insult you. And as I said, it's childish. It's very childish. It's like what my children used to do. They would pull, long boogers out of their nose and flick it on each other.
Okay, 1-800-449...
I know you don't understand, Mr. Henry, because you're not an owner-operator.
Maybe I don't. 1-800-449-8686. Missy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Vernon.
Yes,
I was calling to say that I don't know why you take it as such a personal insult when people complain about the gas prices. They're not targeting you. They're targeting the way that it's impacting their lives, having the prices so
high. I set the price. I get the wholesaler, and then I set my own price to make my profit.
Well,
it would be
like
somebody coming into your home and saying, who cooked this meal? Oh, my God, it's salty. I mean, you'd be insulted.
If the meat was bad, then they should complain. But the thing is that...
Wait a minute. The gas not bad. The gas is...
The gas is high.
It still fuels the automobile, ma'am. And your meatloaf or whatever it is you cook for people, if you did it on a regular basis... For instance, if you had a restaurant and every day people came to your restaurant to eat and every single day they said, Missy, God, your food is salty. Missy, God, this tastes like it came out of a dog's you-know-what. You would finally say to them, something, why don't you take your money?
Everywhere, gas is high. I think that's what they're saying. As everywhere gas is high, not that your gas is high, but everywhere gas is high. And what's going on with our economy and how are we going to how are we going to be able to afford it if it keeps going up? And I know you'd like to think, to think that you set the prices and stuff, but I'm sure that there are other factors that have to do with the pricing. I'm sure not one day you just woke up and said, I want to put the price at $2.50.
You're telling me your problems, and I'm trying to figure out what that has to do with me. I don't understand.
I'm telling you, I'm responding to the radio show you're on.
Yeah, but you're complaining about my gas prices. It's like your boyfriend complaining that you have a big rear end.
I don't know you, and I don't know where your gas. I don't know where your gas station is. I'm complaining about gas prices in general and how they affect my life, and I have no choice. I have to get gas because I'm a consumer.
Are you a married woman?
No, I'm not.
All right, let's say you were married. And
I'm not.
Your boyfriend,
I'm not married.
All right, let's say any woman is married.
But I'm a gas consumer.
And her husband has to live with her, whether he likes it or not, even though her rear end is huge. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
And every day he reminds her, man, you got a big rear end. You got a big rear end every single day. Pretty soon she's going to pick up a gun. And we all know through statistics how these things end. Now, I would say that...
Very few hypertension individuals who are not... Not most of people do that. They would either leave or they would
I want to jump in here, Missy. You have a loudspeaker at your service station?
Yes, I do.
Did you get on that loudspeaker a couple of weeks ago and tell people to quit sighing and talking about the gas prices?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
It's a speaker system that we have at each pump, and I just went on a general, and I said, look, you know, if I can hear a lot of you complaining about the gas prices. Now, if I hear any more of it, you can take your cars, your SUVs, your gas guzzlers, and whatever you got, and you can get the hell off my property.
Well, what I guess I don't understand about that, Vernon, is most people, when they're complaining, they're not even trying to talk to you. They're talking to themselves.
Yeah, it's like someone saying within earshot of you, boy, that Missy's got a big rear end. But they're not talking to you, are they? They're not talking to you.
I mean, you just got done saying to the last caller that you complain about grocery prices
right.
at grocery stores
yeah.
and you don't care what anybody thinks about it. And
well,
if they want to stand up for it, then they can. And if they don't, they don't.
Exactly. If he wants to do something about it, he can. But
So in other words, you're going to complain about the price of food. The guy that operates the grocery store is going to come up to you and say, I don't like that. Get out of here. Then what are you going to do?
Well, I tell you what, then it's on.
What, are you going to get into a fight with the guy?
What if macaroni and cheese was $1.50 everywhere
you went? I'm just telling you what I do. And if I hear anybody say, your prices are too high, like I did to that grandmother, I can do it again. She was 75 years of age, and I have a mother about that age. And let me tell you something. That is a very painful thing to have to send a woman walking in 90-degree heat another quarter of a mile down the road to get gas. But nobody...
I can tell.
Well,
Vernon, no one's
going to flick any boogers on me.
Are you married, Vernon? Are you married, Vernon?
Yes, I am.
Now, okay, so now
what
if you woke up every day and told your wife she had a big
I'm not getting through to any of these people, okay? And all I'm saying is this is not something for discussion.
But you have to tell people
why...
station. Look, I could either take it or leave it, you know. You got me on your show to talk about the high price of gas. And it's going to be high, it's going up higher, so quit, you know... complaining about it. It's an insult to hear you complain about it to me.
It's an insult to be told we're not allowed to have opinions.
Not at my guest. Look, my wife's got a large rear end. I stopped complaining about it years ago.
Well, you know, you're lucky that one day she didn't wake up and listen when you were complaining about it and just shoot you, because that's what typically happens.
I tried to get everything I could do to get that woman to get her body down to an acceptable, so I would accept her body, but she's okay, so guess what? I keep my mouth shut about it, and I go through life with a wife who's got a large rear end, and I can't do anything about it.
What if there was just no way you could cope with it anymore? What is this?
Sit on Grandpa's knee and learn about life?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with service station operator Vernon Dozier about the high price of gasoline. Mr. Dozier, you have said that people are going to just have to take the high prices, they're going to have to live with it, and you don't want to hear any complaining about it. People do have free speech in this country.
Well, Phil, you keep talking about that. What are you going to do without me? I'm the gas station. I own the gas station. What are you going to do? You know,
well, I don't have to shop at your gas station.
Well, there's going to be other owner-operators that feel the same way I do. Just all we're asking is for people to come in, fill up, keep your mouth, you know, closed about your personal opinion about the gas prices and move on. I can tell you, this is the kind of thing...
Well, I want to go to a phone call, but I want to mention something that happened. Some woman's car, you got into her car, released the emergency brake, and let it roll into a wall. Why?
All right, again, I was there, you weren't.
Well, why did you do that?
Because, first of all, she rolled her eyes at me when I said, you know, you can go on down the road. She was complaining about the gas. She rolled her eyes at me.
And that angered you, the act of her rolling her eyes?
Okay. First thing you have to understand is my first wife used to do that. She used to roll her eyes at me and as if to say, look at this baboon I'm married to. That was my first wife, Jerry. And I found her in a saloon on an air base in Germany, and she's rolling her eyes at me. In other words, she was some, some streetwalker from Wiesbaden. and she's rolling her eyes at me. Now, this woman that I released the emergency brake on, she rolled her eyes.
Well, why don't you post a sign that says, don't roll your eyes at Vernon Dozier?
It's not, all I'm saying is, it's a way of people cutting into you. You see?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Christina, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, what gives you the right to do that to people?
Do what?
I mean, who are you
Who are you to complain about my gas prices?
Okay, well,
just gas up, keep your mouth closed. And
no, I will not. If I never go to your gas station, I'm not going to keep my mouth closed.
Look, we
I
gas
will
station.
Speak my mind. If your gas station is too high, I'm going to say it.
Okay, then you can go on down the highway.
And if I don't, then what are you going to do?
I'm going to get your car off of my property, and I can
and
do that any number of ways. I have a tow truck. I can release the emergency brake and roll it off my property. You're not allowed to be there.
Just because I make a damn comment?
Look.
Just because I make a comment about your gas.
Okay, so why don't I just
you
say, hey, Christina, you got...
You are the stupidest person I've ever heard.
Ma'am, why don't I just say this? Let me just make a comment. Hey, Christina, your teeth are brown.
So? My teeth are brown.
Okay.
And I'm clean.
Okay. So you just take that insult, huh? Hey, Christina, you got a rear end that's so large, we're going to have to take a door out to get you through. Hey, Christina, you're a butterball. Hey, Christina, you talk too much. You like that? Of course you don't.
You know what? That doesn't bother me. I don't let pity people like that bother me. If you got problems, then you need issues.
You got a sign at your service station that says, fill up and shut up, right?
That is correct.
Fill up.
You know what? If I fill up, I'm not going to shut up.
Well,
I will talk and I talk and I
then
talk.
Then you're going to have to have me.
Are you
going to
make me? Are you going to make me?
Yes, I am going to make you, ma'am.
You know what?
Releasing
if I don't leave,
I can release the emergency brake on your vehicle and I can roll it off my property.
If you do that, then I'll bring the cops along. You can't touch my car.
It's my property. I can get your car off my property. You know, you're a little not too bright about the law.
And take my emergency brake off.
Yes, I can. Yeah, you're pretty stupid.
No,
you're not welcome at our gas station.
All right, Christina, thanks. 1-800-449-8686.
You got a lot of Mexicans listening.
Now, wait a second. That
well, she sounded like she was...
Are you a racist, sir?
No, I am not, but she just sounded like she wasn't very educated. You can't touch my car because I'm this and I'm that, you know. You give me some respect. You fill up and you shut your mouth, and that's all we ask. I don't think that's too much to ask, and most of my customers understand, and we wind up shaking hands, and we're the best of friends. I tell them to just don't say anything about the prices, and they shake their hand, they shake my hand, and they say, you're right, Mr. Dozier, it's an insult to you. And for somebody to say, you can't touch my car when it's on my property, not only can I touch it, I can take a lathe and acetylene torch, a pair of pliers, and a ball-peen hammer, and I can have that in 150 different pieces within, I'd say, about 5 minutes. That's how good I am.
All right, let me go over here to Wes. Wes, go ahead.
Hey, Vernon.
Yes, sir.
I'm a owner-operator of a restaurant, and I am really appalled at how you think you can treat your customers and have them come back as repeat customers.
What are they going to do? They got to have gas. It ain't like they got to eat in a restaurant, see, Wes. So you ain't in the same business I'm in. They can go home and eat, but they got to come to my gas station.
So that's...
I'm glad I could educate you on that. You call me again anytime you want to learn anything about the business world.
Let the man finish.
My point is, you have a captive audience, but there's no reason for you to be rude.
Yeah, there is. Well, there's no reason for them to be rude to me. Okay.
That's not being rude. I have customers every day that comment about the price.
I don't care about your lousy food because they can go home and they can cook, okay? But they can't do anything other than come to my gas station. And when they come to my gas station and they say, your prices are too high, that's like pulling a long, stringy, mucus-riddled booger out of their nose and flicking it on my clean white shirt. And I won't stand for that. Now, you may stand for it in your restaurant. Maybe your food isn't all that up to par. Maybe I take one bite of your pie and think that I bit into cat. But that's my business, isn't it? And I will tell you.
My food stands on its own. I have repeat.
I'll bet it stands. I'll bet your food stands. I'll bet your food will get right up off the plate and walk back into the kitchen if you let it.
Well,
what I'm trying to say to you, sir, is that I'm not going to let someone pull a long string.
Can I make my comment?
You got the booger line out, okay?
Well, that's what it is. Yes, sir?
Can I make my comment, please?
Well, you already made your comment about your lousy food. Now, once you're on my property, your car is my custody. See, that's what people don't understand. I own their car once they come onto
my... Wait a minute. When I drive my car onto your gas station, you're telling me you own it?
Technically, the law says that I own all those vehicles that come onto the property of my gas station until such time as they leave. And I can tell you, to get up, sit down, get in the car, get out of the car, whatever I want to do. So that little Latina that just called in and tried to get my goat, I'll tell you what, I'll stuff her in the trunk of her car, I'll have it up on jacks and have the gas station closed, the police will never know what happened to her. That's just the way it's going to be.
You're making physical threats, sir?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm simply telling you how we do business in the service station industry.
800-449-8686, let's go over to Ron. Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I want to meet this guy. I want to meet him. And let me tell you something, that whole cop comment, I'm a cop, all right?
Yeah, and sure you are. Sure you are.
No. Hey.
You're a cop.
I'm a cop. I defend everybody's lives,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, you're a cop. You sound like you, kid, you sound like you just got off Xbox.
Like I just
Wait,
got
you,
off the
you're,
Xbox.
You're a police officer?
Yes, I am.
Where?
I'm a police officer in the Air Force, Edwards Air Force Base.
You're what, a military cop?
I'm a military cop.
Why don't you call yourself that?
Because it's a cop altogether. My point is every vehicle...
If you're on my property, I can sit in your car, have a stick of your gum,
no,
I can take a sip of your coffee.
You go and jack up my car, I'm going to have every squad car I got on you.
Wait a second.
It is not yours.
At my gas station?
It doesn't mean you have any rights to anybody's car at all. It's called customer service. People pay for convenience.
They don't pay to come in and insult me. They don't pay to come in and insult me. They insult me. I've got their car. I got all four wheels off before they can come out of the bathroom.
Let me tell you something. You do on to others as they do on to you. You come up and jack up my car, and it's going to turn right back around on you. Either that, or
what?
I know the law. All right, I've been through the academy.
You know the law on an Air Force base.
The law.
You know the law on an Air Force base, and it's totally different on an Air Force base.
No. See, let me tell you something.
You can
you
kick ass.
Let me tell you something.
Can't
you learn more about what just happens on an airbase rather than what happens out in the regular PD? We learn about both of them.
Right.
Show us how much you know.
Hey,
let me tell you something.
What
I also used to work customer service.
You guys, it's legal for you guys to go up and just club some guy with a billy stick if he's drunk in a nightclub,
No. Okay?
Cops can't do that.
No, it is not. No, let me tell you something. It's not
can
legal.
Can I ask you something? I didn't know they allowed 13-year-olds in the military police. When did that start?
13-year-olds? Let me tell you something.
Either that or you're a dwarf. Are you a dwarf? I don't want to. I'm not trying to insult you, but are you a dwarf? Yes or no?
He's not a dwarf. He's got a young-sounding voice. He's in the military.
I will tell you this right now. I think it is a sad day that we let dwarfs run around on air bases in helmets with sticks.
No, let me tell you something.
Go right ahead, sir.
Before you start running your mouth thinking you know what you're talking about, we can't just walk up and hit somebody. There's a law. You know what the law is? Because obviously you don't. You think that you can go and just pull the emergency brake off of somebody's car and let it roll down a hill and hit them.
What if I don't want her car on my property anymore?
Let me get my statement out.
Okay?
Let me get
Do you wear underwear as regular pants?
Are you done insulting
me?
Yeah,
he's done. Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
People pay for convenience. You're not the only gas station around. Trust me.
Sir,
work in the middle of the
desert. That may be true, okay?
No.
But at least I repair automobiles, and if you bring your big wheel in...
My big wheel. Oh, hey.
You know, Ron, I apologize. If you want to talk... Excuse me, Ron, I apologize to you. If you want to talk, Mr. Dozier, about prices...
Look, you get a dwarf on the line trying to tell me my business.
He's not a dwarf! He's a guy in the military police in the Air Force, and the man does know the law.
Okay, you know the law. How come I got to keep a car on my property if I don't want it there? Go ahead.
Does not mean whatsoever that it is that your car.
But he can't keep her car. And when some Latina comes in and gives me lip and I don't want her Mexican car on my property anymore, I can... And what, do you got a big wheel with a siren?
You know what? You're racist.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
That does make
not
me... I know I'm not racist. I just don't want some Camaro junking up my property. That's all.
What do you mean, Camaro?
So let me tell you...
I don't want some 5-speed Camaro.
So let me say something. If your gas station is, say, let's say maybe 10 cents cheaper than the gas station next door, you coming on this radio station saying all that stuff about everybody, you don't think you're going to lose your customers by that?
And wait a minute, you just said my price is 10 cents cheaper than the guy next door.
Oh,
they're
no, listen to me.
They're going
to
take my abuse whether they like it or not.
Listen.
They have to, okay?
No, they don't have to.
And the day you get a gas tank on that big wheel...
They're your customer.
Sir,
you cannot run a business
without your customer. Sir, the day you get a gas tank on that big wheel, you can come and talk to me.
No,
otherwise, both of you gentlemen could go straight down to the hot spot.
You cannot run your business.
He hung up on us, Ron.
He hung up on us.
Yeah. I apologize, sir. I know that you are your service to our country. I appreciate that, and you do have a good. I don't think that he can get people off his property, can he?
No, he can't. And see, the thing about that is, he needs his customers to stay in business. Before I did this, I worked customer service for a long time.
Right. Okay, hold on. This guy's called back. We don't appreciate being hung up on.
I just want to say I'm sorry to Ron and say we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard.
All right, get him out of here. What up? Anyway, Ron, I totally understand what you're saying, and I think it is beyond the pale for somebody in the service industry to treat people with an abusive tongue the way he has. I thank you for calling, though.
Hey, any time.
Thank you, sir.
I just thought I should voice myself.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
We're off to see the wizard, huh? Since when does the Air Force have dwarfs for military police? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Got another flashback from our show in Aspen, Colorado. Larry Grover is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. He's also with a new North American Fathers' Rights League, saying that Mel Gibson's The Passions of the Christ, the film, is actually a skillful metaphor on what fathers go through who pay child support.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just want to say that if this man is grown up enough to put his and make a baby, then he needs to be grown up enough to take responsibility and pay for half of that child's upbringing. If you think that your child support is excessive, then your ex-wife needs to sit down and write a list of everything that she spends on the upbringing of your children on a monthly basis, and let you pay for half of that, because I can guarantee you it's going to be more than what you're paying in child support.
As far as you can get yourself
to Jesus Christ, my Savior, you need to go burn in hell for that.
Well, wait just a second, ma'am. I'm not trying to disrespect Mr. Christ or anything that he is alleged to have done. I'm trying to say that when I saw the passion of Mr.
Jesus
Christ...
You're comparing yourself to him. That is so sacrilegious. It was very similar.
Do you have an ex-husband paying you child support, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's exactly what you're doing to him. Ooh, gotcha.
No, you know what?
He is paying exactly what the court wants him to pay,
and
you
he doesn't complain
that movie.
About it. He even gives me extra money every month to help make sure that our kids are taken care of.
That is correct, but Jesus
and, you know,
didn't complain either, ma'am.
And that's what you need to be doing. You need to be thinking about what's best for your children and stop worrying about your damn pocketbook and think about the kids.
My wife's the one that kept pushing me to have relations, to have kids. Oh, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. And
you
now,
know what?
Guess
you're
what? I'm hanging up there on a hill on a Friday afternoon
and
it's going to rain.
Away from it before you had a baby. You were man enough to make one. Now be man enough and accept the responsibility of it.
Well, I want to jump in here and say, Larry, you have said repeatedly you don't mind paying child support, you just don't want to pay excessive.
Exactly.
You're paying how much?
I'm paying $875 a month for four kids.
Oh, you're
and that is that's
easy, big boy.
I don't understand I don't understand her comment.
It sounds pretty light, man.
Light. I'm working at Culver Print.
For four kids, that's $200 a month for a kid. Do you know how much
they are giving? She's giving me vinegar to drink and a sponge when I have to. What's that?
Do you know how much it costs to feed and clothe a child per month? To pay to have lights on in that house to keep them warm in the winter.
About $875 a month for four kids.
No, you are so wrong. Your ex-wife give you the four kids and let you see what you can do with $800 a month.
You know, Melissa, what is your Latin name? Because you're a Roman soldier to that ex-husband. Thank you.
Whatever.
Wait a minute. Did you hang up?
No, I didn't. I'm just collecting my thoughts.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Larry Grover, live from Aspen there on the Phil Hendry Show. Speaking of Aspen, go to the USA. Anybody got a copy of the USA Today today? You got today's USA Today today? The USA Today today. If you have the USA Today today, go to the Life section. There's a big picture there of me, Gary Trudeau, Drew Carey, and a number of other guys were on this so-called panel on Saturday morning. They wrote a whole article about this thing. Talk about boring. This poor writer, this is Ann Oldenburg of the USA Today. I don't know what she had to do to try to find something to write about, because it looked like she was really scrambling, man. There is, like, nothing here. And frankly, the reason why there's nothing there is because the panel we were on was like a whole big fat nothing. However, it's a very nice group photo of all of us, and you can also go to my website and see it, although the caption's going to be slightly different, if you know what I mean. 875 a month for four kids. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is Justin McElroy. We talked with Justin. He's a young guy from San Francisco. He actually lives, he lives in the East Bay, goes to Prescott High School out there. His East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center is a first. It's teens counseling other teens on what to do if you're living in a dysfunctional home. And his home is dysfunctional. His parents are constantly butting in when he wants to be in his room alone. And there are a lot of other things he's complaining about. So we'll be talking with him coming up. 1-800, I'd gather the kids around for this one. Share it as a family. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I want to bring on Justin McElroy. He's an interesting guy, and he contacted our show. A group of teens have started something called the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center, where teenagers counsel each other. He's a senior at Prescott High School in the East Bay in San Francisco. And, Justin, thanks for being with us. How are you? I'm having a hard time bringing calls up today. You there, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing really good, thank you.
Tell me about the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center and why you started it.
Well, mostly because today's families are at risk. There are more teenagers right now living in dysfunctional homes now than ever before. There's homes where a lot of parents are drug addicted, also homes where there's lesbian and gay parents and non-traditional houses like that, or where the mother or father's absent. And these parents are making, an extraordinary demand when they expect unconditional love from a young person growing up in a house like that.
What kind of home do you live in, man?
Well, my father is, he's the CEO of a paper manufacturing company, Livermore.
Is he around a lot?
Well, not really. He's always pretty much working on weekends. He's pretty much working the week. He's only home on weekends. And he's trying hard to be always, you know, butting in and everything. He asked me to go with him places, like he's trying to buy my love, you know. And my mother does a lot of working out, and she's also trying to, you know, pry into my life and everything.
Are your parents alcoholics or drug addicts or anything along that line?
Well, yeah, I do think that they are alcoholics. Because my mom drinks wine and my father drinks beers and everything on weekends. And I also asked my health teacher, Miss Havers, at our senior class health teacher, and she said that if they drink more than two drinks in an hour, then they're alcoholics. And I wanted to mention also some statistics about it.
Okay, go ahead. These are statistics on what?
Well, in America, 10.4% of the population is foreign-born, or they're born in another country, and that's stressful for kids today. Also, 4.9% of marriages are divorces, and 9% of families in America are lone-parent families, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's in the top 10. Also, 52.1 births per thousand are teenagers who are given, you know, having babies. And also, 9.1 million cases of sexually transmitted diseases for teenagers. And so, like America has pretty much become a hellhole for kids, and we're saying to parents that you have to do something. So what we tell kids a lot is the best thing for them to do is to show you that they love you, and they'll always want to butt in.
When you say show you that they love you, when you come from a dysfunctional, do you consider a home where two women have children, like lesbians or gay people, is that dysfunctional?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not putting down anybody who's gay, but it's not, you know, I mean, all you do is take, you know, people give you crap for it at school and everything, like, oh yeah, you got two lesbians for parents and everything. And a friend of mine, I said to him, you know, if you want them to show tangible proof of their love for you, you should ask them for something tangible. And he asked them for, you know, like the Devil May Care game for Xbox, or, you know, some sneakers or something. Because they'll say they love you, but if they're lesbians, I don't know how they could.
Well, you're counseling kids to ask for stuff. Is that it?
Well, no. I mean, a lot of it is. A lot of it's just, do you love me? Yeah. Okay. Well, how come? You know, how come you drink and everything, or how come you're working all the time? So I asked my folks, you know, there's a pair of sneakers there's some shoes that I wanted, which are pretty good. They're DC skate shoes. And I asked my mom for them because she runs around the house in tights. She thinks she's hot. All of her friends think they're hot. And they all are, like, my mom wants them to come on to me and everything. And
Wait. Are you saying your mother brings her friends over to come on to you?
Well, I mean, I come home with my friends, and there's my mom with all her friends, and they think they're so hot and they're tights and everything. So I said to my mom, I think it's wrong, and I just something tangible. Buy me some skate, you know, the DC skate shoes.
So buying something will mean that they love you.
Well, yeah, because they like to say they love you, and they love you and everything else, but then they come around with their friends who look like, you know, they're disgusting looking, and also my dad's always butting in. And I can't tell if my mom loves me or not because she always has her friends over. And
all right, 1-800-449-8686. I know you're a little bit nervous, Justin. I appreciate that. We're talking to Justin McElroy of the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center. And the answer to the problems, our number, 1-800-449-8686. The answer to the problem, you say, is for your parents to buy you things.
Well, I mean, it's the only way. See, they always complain about, it's not about owning material things, but they always complain about buying you stuff. And so I say, well, if you really love me, why not buy me stuff, you know? So what we tell kids, we tell parents, if your kid wants an Xbox game or a new snowboard or some weight equipment or CD, you should just go get it for them and butt out. Because one of the things that parents do a lot is they butt in. My parents are always butting in and everything. And a friend of mine, like I said, he's got these two lesbians who are his parents. I said, just get, you know, like, get a CD game, or, I mean, get an Xbox game.
What about if the kid approaches his parents and he says, listen, you're intruding into my life too much. I don't know if you really love me. Why don't we spend more time together?
Well, that kind of shows that you don't know what teens want. I mean, because...
Are you saying that kids don't want to spend more time with their parents?
Not really. I mean, all I want to do is have them, like, leave, you know... What they do is, they're always like, oh, you know, why don't you have your friends over? Oh, why don't you do this? And I tell my mom to just butt out, you know, and get me some skate shoes or get me, like, a snowboard or something. And she thinks she's so cool, and, you know, she's not.
But my question is, don't kids, teenagers, want to have more involvement from their parents so they will feel that love?
No, because when your parents get involved with you, all they do is embarrass you, and they won't butt out of your life, and... You know, they're disgusting. I mean, my mother's disgusting. A lot of my friends, their moms are just, you know, disgusting. So we say to them, okay, they say they love you. Okay, ask them if you can get, you know, like, tickets to see, like, if you want to go see, you know, Korn or something, or you want to, you know, there's a concert coming. Like, Korn came to... concert, I told my mom, if you really love me, give me tickets to see Korn. And I know it sounds like bad, but, you know, parents are not very good at communicating. We found out, you know, this is the best way for them to prove their love.
Well, I don't think you're going to find parents agreeing with that. I think you're going to find parents saying, the best way I can love my son or my daughter is to be involved in their life, help them with schoolwork, help them with the things that interest them, talk to them about things that confuse them.
Yeah, that's what adults say, but kids don't say that. Kids want you to just butt out, okay, and just get me. I said to my mom, you know, I wanted to get the Linkin Park CD, and she didn't do it. I said, just go get it and leave me alone. So I'm just saying to kids, tell your parents to leave you alone and just go get what you told them to get them. You know, how stupid are they?
You sound like you have this confrontational relationship with your parents and other adults, you know?
No, I don't. No, I mean, they're the ones that make it confrontational. That's the thing we're trying to tell adults. It doesn't have to be confrontational. Just leave us alone. And parents don't know the difference between being involved and butting in. All they do is butt in. If they just stay out of my room and just get, you know, buy the stuff that I said. I gave a list to my mom of what I wanted to get. I wanted to get an airsoft rifle. I wanted to get both the Linkin Park CD, and I wanted to get the Korn compilation. I wanted to get the Family Values CD. I also asked them if I could get some new shoes and just a list of stuff, and they couldn't even do that. So how much do they love me? I don't think a lot. Plus, they drink, and Mrs. Haver says that if they drink more than 2 drinks an hour, they're alcoholic. And the best thing about it is, and I tell the kids, is your parents are going to feel so guilty about how, you know, you hate them. And
you don't hate your parents, do you?
Yeah, I mean, most kids hate their parents, really.
You know, no, they don't. I mean, how can you make a statement like that?
Because they do. I mean,
most kids hate their parents.
Well, yeah, I mean, parents don't do anything good other than bust down on you and you know. Like my parents, all they're doing is damage, just, you know, if they butt out.
All right, Justin, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Justin McElroy, the way to show your love for your kid is to just buy him the stuff he wants you to buy him, because really all of this involvement is damaging kids. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Justin McElroy is with me. He's with the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center. So where teens counsel each other on how to deal with a dysfunctional home. Are you at an arcade right now?
Sorry?
Are you at an arcade right now, Justin?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, this is a Tuesday night. It's a school night?
Yeah, it is a school night, but my mom's always trying to tell me what to do, so I just told her that I wanted to go down to the arcade.
But, I mean, did your mother want you to go to bed? Did she want you to do your homework?
Well, I mean, first of all, she embarrasses me by wearing tights and everything with her friends. And
all right, you told me that your mother embarrasses you by wearing her workout clothes with her friends and they think they're hot. So is this payback?
Well, she needs to give me something in return if she's going to embarrass me in front of people. So a lot of times, you know, I just say, okay, I'm going to the mall, and
Does she allow you?
Well, it's really not her right to tell me what to do, you know, and that's what we're trying to tell kids at the Teen Peer Counseling Center. I mean, they don't really have a right to tell you. You know, a lot of times when they say they want to be involved with you, that's probably they want to be involved with you because they don't have anything else to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So you're counseling teens, basically, to just do whatever the hell it is they want. And if their parents feel guilty about not being involved in their lives, have them buy you stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really the honest way of dealing with it. Otherwise, it's just you're just playing the game of the adults who will just lie about it anyway because they want to feel good. The only reason why they had you is because they wanted to show you off and show people baby pictures and stuff.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's John. John, go ahead. You're on with Justin.
Yeah, hey, man. I was just listening to the show, and I heard this guy up on here. He's saying he's coming from a dysfunctional family because his parents won't buy him stuff? Man, you're full of BS, dude.
Well, hey, you know, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's your opinion.
My opinion is you're full of crap, dude. I
come from
great,
man. I really, oh, wow, that really matters to me what your opinion is, man.
Oh, wow, man.
Oh, wow,
you come from the Bay Area and your parents won't buy anything. They're getting $30
an hour. Well, just because you've been...
They won't buy you something?
Hey, just because you do
know,
everything you're... Hey, what are you doing, man? You're washing your daddy's car and hoping he'll love you for it?
Yeah, I'm washing my daddy's car, dude.
And hoping he'll love you for it? Okay, he don't love you.
Oh, yeah, he don't love me. Okay, check this out. No, my dad burnt my house down a long time ago. I come from a dysfunctional family where my mom raised me. I was lucky to get anything.
Your mom
like you who's up there, you know, whining about
my mom. Hey, guess what, man? The only reason why they had you is that they could show off baby pictures, and now that you're a teenager, they hate you now.
I don't have no baby pictures.
Yeah, you know why, man? Because you ain't a baby no more.
My house burned down because I would come from a dysfunctional family. My dad burnt my house down. I don't got no baby pictures.
Yeah, your dad burnt your house down because he hates you, man. What do you think of that?
I come from a real dysfunctional family.
What do you, I
guess you're trying to counsel people saying that, ooh, yeah, if your parents won't buy you something, go tell them to F off.
Hey,
sure, pal.
If your mom raised you, man, there's a good chance because the statistics say that you could become homosexual.
That's statistics. That's just people putting polls.
What?
Statistics don't mean crap.
What do you mean if his mother raised him, he could become
homosexual? You're not kidding the real life, dude.
Hey, dude, I'm reading statistics off a Nation Master website.
You're sitting in an arcade right now playing some video game with your thumb up your butt, man.
Hey, man.
You're
check this out.
I'm reading off some systems.
Hey, dude, you're all angry.
Like you're probably stoned right now.
Dude, you're angry because your mom doesn't love you because you, you're a teenager.
No, my mom loves you. My mom took care of me, okay? If my mom didn't love me, I would be homeless. I wouldn't have anything right now.
Let me ask you, John. Hold on. Justin, you're 17?
That's right.
How old are you, John?
I'm 19.
Oh, man, you're still living at home?
No,
oh, man,
not.
Dude, hey, dude, the day I turn 18, man, I'm out of my house, and I'm going to do what I want to do.
I bet you're
going to
be out of your house living in a lady's toy cardboard box behind a McDonald's.
Hold on for a minute, both of you guys. John made a good point. His father sounds like he was insane, burned a house down. What is the dysfunction that you come from, Justin?
I already told you.
Well, tell us again, man. You said you're...
Well, Mrs. Avers is our health teacher, says my parents are alcoholics. Okay, so...
You got an alcoholic thing. You have two beers and you're an alcoholic?
That's what my health teacher says.
Hey, I think your health teacher took too much LSD when he was a kid.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, man, if all you got to say are, like, you know, little quips and stuff, and you're still living at home at 19, when I turn 18,
dude,
man, I'm gone.
I'm not living at home.
Hey, dude, when I turn 18, I'm gone.
Get your car key out of your ear. Oh, wait, you don't drive.
Hey, man, does your mom dress like she thinks she's hot and everything? My mom does.
No.
Okay.
Oh, hell no.
You consider that dysfunctional, Justin?
Yeah, if your mom's walking around half-dressed in her, you know, workout tights. And
hey, it's better than your mom walking around in a muumuu.
Hey, dude.
Huh?
You know what,
your mom
man?
Out there,
hey,
like, doing
hey,
her
dude.
Front yard when your friends come over.
Hey, dude.
And she's out there wearing a big muumuu.
Guess what, man?
Really?
Hey, dude, if you want to bag your mom's friends, that's your disease, man. It's not mine.
No, my mom's here. My friends come over, and my mom's sitting out front in a muumuu. Okay?
Hey,
tell me how embarrassing that is.
Okay. But my mom is not. She's in workout tights and stuff.
Hey,
so what? So wait a minute.
Hot.
So your mother is...
Hey, dude, my mom is, like, disgusting looking, and if you're thinking, like, you want to bag some old lady, dude, I feel sorry for you, man.
I don't care.
Yeah, well, okay, I don't care what you think, man.
Wait a minute, Justin, you've got an East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center. How would you counsel this guy, John, who comes in...
I wouldn't.
No, but he comes in, he says, my father just burned the house down. What would you say to him?
I'd kick him out.
Why?
Oh, yeah, you kicked me out.
Yeah, because you're acting like a, you know...
Oh,
like you think you know everything, man.
Here's a bag of marijuana. Go have fun.
Hey, dude, you don't know, man. You're the one who, you know, is talking about how, you know, I don't have no life or nothing. You probably kicked your own... What you do to...
You in your Lincoln Park, right?
How come you made your dad mad that he wanted to burn your house down?
My dad didn't... I didn't make my dad mad.
Well,
my
yeah, that's what you say.
Popper.
That's what you say.
Dad was a pill popper.
That's what you say.
Dad didn't make him mad.
That's what you say.
All right, wait a minute. The man was a pill head. Listen, Justin, thank you for your call. Or John, rather. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Vanessa. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Vanessa, go ahead.
First of all, good job to your mom for dressing like a woman and making herself feel good. And you know what? Let me just tell you something,
lay around,
Justin. Let me tell you something,
pants?
Justin. From someone who grew up from a broken home and is responsible and doing well, you know what's going to happen to you if your parents buy you those little CDs that you want that's so important to you? You're going to turn out to be a spoiled, rotten brat, which you pretty much are right now, by the way.
Who made
but
you
parents,
thought? Who died
you know
and
why
made
your
you
parents
thought?
Work so much? Do you know why your dad's gone all week? Because he's trying to provide for you. He's
to
trying
to
get enough money up to send you to this college that your little bratty ass wants to go to.
Hey, you know something? Who made you God?
Who made me God?
Yeah, you sound like you're
no,
God
who
or something.
You God, you are 16 years old, and it is a sad fact
excuse me, I'm 17.
That you are counseling teenagers and filling them with this. Your parents are not alcoholics. Your parents are pretty conservative if they only drink on the weekend.
You know what? And I can see why they drink. You don't know anything about coming from a dysfunctional family. My mom is walking around, and then my dad comes home, and he's all like, you know,
hey, come on, man, let's go fishing.
He's butting in all the
time. Your dad comes home. Butting in? No, he sees how distant you make yourself from him, and he is trying to rectify that situation.
Yeah, but most kids hate their parents, and they don't want them to be around them
like that.
Most kids do not hate their parents.
Yes, most kids are immature.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 23.
Okay, so you don't know anything. You're an old lady, okay? I'm talking about teens.
I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
You know what? When you get to be about 18, you'll probably still be at home.
Hey, sorry,
Grandma. Or you'll be in the dorms.
Hey, Grandma.
When you get to be 23, you're going to look back at this, and you're going to feel like an ass.
You know, Vanessa, very good points. And Justin, you...
Yes, you can, because every kid that I know hates her parents, okay? So, and she is, like, 23, so what does she know about anything?
All right, listen, Vanessa, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Most kids hate their parents and would just want their parents to buy them things. That's Justin McElroy's opinion from the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center. Teenagers counseling other teenagers. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind.
I have Justin McElroy with me from the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center, where teens counsel each other. You heard that young man say that his father burned down the house that he grew up in, and he's asking, how is your life dysfunctional? How have you...
I don't want to interrupt you too much, Mr. Henry, but you're also an adult, and like that lady that called who was 23, you don't really know what you're talking about, and...
How are you coming from a dysfunctional family?
Well, my mother and father are, like, I really hate them because on Saturday nights they're out dancing, they leave me alone. My father's always talking to me about, he said he wanted to talk to me about sex and all that, which I think is child molesting, and my mom...
Your father trying to tell you the facts of life is child molesting?
Well, no, but it's not right. I mean, that makes me feel uncomfortable. I mean... They also wanted me to go with them to Tucson to a ranch where they want to do, like, ride horses and everything. And I said I didn't want to do it, and I didn't want to do it. And they told me last September that they want to go to Tucson to a ranch, and I said I didn't want to do it.
And right now you're in a video arcade. It is 9:30 in the evening on the West Coast. It's 1:30 in the evening, in the morning, or excuse me, 12:30.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, and you tell your mother, I'm just going to go out to a video arcade.
Because I'm trying to get away from it because I hate my life. And I'm trying to tell kids what they can do, too.
Let me go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
Okay. Justin, what you're saying is an absolute lie. I am from an alcoholic family. My father is an alcoholic. I've dealt with it for my entire high school life.
Can you hold on for a minute?
Sure.
Dude, that's my machine after you.
Hey, Justin?
Yes, sir?
If you're talking to some kids about what machine you're on next, you either want to be on my show or you want to play video games.
No, I want to talk to you, but this kid got on the machine. It's Grand Theft Auto Machine. It's called Crazy Taxi. And
I understand if you want to play a game. Either you're playing games or you're going to be talking with me.
I'm up next, man.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. Well, I've grown up in an alcoholic home. My dad's an alcoholic. I've dealt with it for the past 4 years of my life. And he never was there for me growing up. His way of showing love was buying me things. And
That's great. That's what we try to tell kids.
That's not love. That's not real love.
Yeah, but he's not bothering you or anything.
Yes, it does.
He's not bothering. Is he bothering you? Is your dad bothering you?
Yes. I would much rather have him be there for me to talk to than have him giving me money or buying me things.
I know, but if he's there, it's boring. I mean, all he's going to do is bother you and talk to you about stupid stuff.
But that's a parent's job. That's how they show that they care.
You know what? You could go out with my friends and I or whatever you want to do and have way more fun than whatever your dad's going to... I mean, are you kidding? Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, my dad's going to take me to the zoo. Whatever.
It's not even the fact that it...
She's not saying that. Excuse me, Melissa, I don't mean to interrupt, but she wants to be with her father.
Why? I mean, all they're going to do is molest you or...
Wait a second.
No, uh-uh.
How do you know? How do you know he's not going to try?
How old are you?
I would love to be close to my father and know how it feels to have a normal family. He doesn't even talk to me anymore.
Hold on for a minute. Dude, I told you that was my machine.
All right, if you want to do that, kid. Justin?
I told you that was my machine.
Justin McElroy?
I'll talk to the guy that gives the change out then, man. Yeah?
Are you going to talk to me, or...
No, I told the guy that I was next up on Crazy Taxi because this dude thought he was... You know, all I was going to do was going to have a fest on Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, but you're on a radio show, man. You got to talk to me. You have to talk to my callers.
Okay, but again, you're like an adult telling me what to do. And we're trying to get rid of that. And is that girl there, or what's her name?
Melissa, yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Your dad, like, stays away from you? That is the most... That's just the most tight thing there is.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's good. You really need to get... You've got to just fold yourself into it and dig it, you know? That is so tight. I wish my dad would leave me alone. He's always hey, let's go fishing. Let's do this.
I don't think you really understand what it's like to come from a dysfunctional family.
My mother's always, like, wearing...
That's not a dysfunctional family. I'm sorry. That's not a dysfunctional family.
Okay, have you ever been swimming with your mom and she's like wearing a two-piece and you're disgusted beyond belief?
That's not dysfunctional, man. That's your mother swimming with you. Is it in a pool in your house?
Dysfunctional family is having your dad come home drunk every night and tell you that you're a disappointment and...
My dad got drunk one time and threw a glass in our pool.
One time.
Yeah,
My dad comes home drunk every night and tells me that I am a disappointment, and...
Well, you know what you should do? You should run away from home.
Look at you.
I live in college now, okay? I live in a dorm.
That's cool.
No, it's right, not, because...
Right. You know, Melissa, I hear you, and I hear what you're saying, and the fact that you're in college and that you are now learning from this terrible experience, man, you can have a great life from this point forward, and, you know, for your kids, too.
What are you talking about?
Would you shut up, kid? I'm talking to her.
Fine. I'm on your desk.
Melissa, thank you very much, okay?
Thank you.
But I can't hear anything with that arcade. Here is Lyndon. Lyndon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Justin, all you're after is the attention that you're drawing from this.
What?
There's no dysfunctional family. Two beers... Health teacher or not, that's not dysfunctional.
According to my health
teacher, mama wearing clothes that are make her feel attractive with her husband, her mate, her married husband.
What about her son?
There's nothing wrong with that.
What about her son getting disgusted? It's disgusting.
Well, I'm sure that right now, if your mother heard you, she would be disgusted. So what about your mother?
Which
woman that brung you into this world?
How come?
Do you not think she would be disgusted if she could hear you? What you're saying?
What do you mean brung? You're supposed to say, like, what, brought or something.
Forget about how the guy's saying it.
See, what's your name, Lyndon?
Lyndon, yes, sir.
Like Johnson?
Same thing.
That's cool.
Same thing.
Don't you think that's tight? You're named after a president? Did they name you after a president or what?
No, they didn't name me after a president, just the way it worked out.
But oh, really? Are you a teenager?
Yeah.
How old are you, man?
I'm 19.
Well, technically, that's not... Yeah, I guess you still are, but...
Well,
you don't have to do it.
Comes T-E-E-N, so we'll call it a teenager. But you're
you sound like
it's
40 or something,
dude.
Well, hey, first of all, my dad said let's go fishing, and I know probably you think that's great, wherever you're from, but not here. And my parents come home from dancing, and they're all laughing and laughing. And it's dangerous for me because I don't know if they'll come in my room and look at me and stuff while I'm wanting to do stuff by myself.
Wait a minute. Your parents go out dancing together, and they come home laughing. Most kids would love that.
What? It's like embarrassing.
Embarrassing for you to hear your mother and father laughing.
Your mother and father enjoying themselves together, laughing, having been dancing?
Because then they're going to come into my room and look at me, too?
Justin, you're a phony, you're a fake, you're drawing attention off this. That's just the end of the story.
Yeah, you just think you're so smart, and you're not really.
I'm smart.
No, you're not really.
No, yeah, I've got paper to prove it.
What? What do you mean you got paper?
Whenever you turn 18...
Wait a minute.
Where are you going to live at, man?
How are you going to prove it? What, you got the commitment papers to, like, the state nut house?
Oh, yeah, it's nut house.
All right, okay.
Where are you going to live at when you turn 18?
We got, like, your papers they gave you at the AKC or something?
Where are you going to live at when you turn 18? The day you turn 18, you said you're moving out.
I'm going to move in.
You can get away from the disgusting, dysfunctional family you've
got. A friend of mine's mom has a house.
Where are you going to live at?
A friend of mine's mom has a house in Malibu, and they said I can crash there in the garage.
You're going to live at his disgusting mama's house. You cannot get away from the disgust. You can't take care of yourself, but everybody's disgusting. They're trying to raise you, man.
My mom made a sandwich the other day of Braunschweiger, and I tell you what, you eat a sandwich my mom makes, you'll talk out of the other side of your head. That's how disgusting it all is.
Your mom made you a sandwich of Braunschweiger.
Yeah. Oh, the guy's laughing. Okay, whatever.
All right, listen, Lyndon, thank you. We have time for one more call here, 1-800-449-8686, and it's Howard. Howard, go ahead.
Hey, Jason, it's Howard. You know, you're talking a lot of crap
is
here.
Is Howard Stern?
No, this is not Howard Stern. You know, just back up and listen for a minute. You know, we're all here just trying to help you. And I heard you talk about this counseling group that you're in. Well, bud, you need to get out of that counseling group. I mean, I'm sitting in there listening to you, and it's scaring
the S word, didn't he? I thought I heard that. Oh, man, I lost all of my callers. They're all gone. That was a good call. Is this Howard Stern? Boo-boo-booey. All right, Justin McElroy, a real flake case, folks. And if you're a teenager and you need some counseling, look him up there. He'll just tell you to ask him for stuff and then move out. That's the best way to deal with your parents. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show will be back with some final thoughts after this.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I missed this, but a really great piece of news came in this evening. A wonderful piece of news. Abu Abbas, who is the head of a Palestinian terrorist organization that hijacked the Achille Lauro cruise ship in 1985, and their claim to fame was that they shot a wheelchair-bound American tourist by the name of Leon Klinghoffer and then threw him into the Mediterranean Sea. This was the military operation that this piece of human garbage Abbas was heading up. Well, guess what? He's dead. He died in U.S. custody. They say it was from natural causes, but I couldn't care less. It comes almost 20 years after the time it should have happened. He should have been prosecuted for cold-blooded murder, but of course, he's a Palestinian, so he gets to walk around the world. Now, that was the intentional execution of a civilian. And, of course, the Palestinians will tell you that that's what the Israelis do all the time. No, they don't. They target terrorists, but they sure as hell don't walk up to a guy in a wheelchair with a pistol, stick it in the back of his head, blow his brains out the front of his face, and then throw him into the Mediterranean Ocean. Only the Palestinian terror organizations are capable of that kind of military operation. So anyway, the guy that did it, even though he apologized for it, he should have been shot on the spot right after the apology. Abu Abbas dead in Iraq. a great day. Great day for the civilized world. Fantastic, baby. All right. I'm Harry Carey. You know, it's not often you get to make jokes about a guy dying, but so when you can, it's a lot of fun. Abu Abbas. He's just blowing in the wind now, baby. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We have a flashback. David G. Hall was on the program yesterday talking about how he needs for me to become a John Kerry supporter and join all the other Hollywood people, all the performers and whatnot. And he basically threatened me. If I didn't do it, I'd lose my job. A lady called up to say that he was being very, very childish.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Number one, I just want to tell you, that is a harsh word, is shut up. I do not even tell my children to shut up.
He won't shut his mouth when I'm talking to the listeners.
I don't care. There is a politer word. Be quiet. Shut up is a child's word.
Can I ask a question? Are you trying to tell me what to do?
No, I'm just telling you what your listeners don't like to hear is telling your employees to shut up. That's not an adult form.
All right, I'm trying to talk to the listener. All right, interrupt me, Phil.
I'm sorry?
Okay, then what do you want me to say?
No, be quiet,
Phil. Be quiet, Phil.
Now, does it does sound a lot better than shut up?
What,
and number two,
what are you, Martha Stewart?
Tell me either. I got to do this, or I'm walking.
What are you, Martha Stewart, after a face full of pig guts? What is it with you people? How about shut your trap? You like that?
See? You're a child.
How am I a child? I'm trying to get something
done. That's what children say.
All right, Phil, interrupt me.
David.
Shut the hole under your nose.
See, there's another child coming out.
Why? What's wrong with that? Hey, Diane, tell you what. We'll try and get Freebird.
I am speaking here.
Hey, Diane, we'll try and get Freebird on as soon as we can. Now, just please.
I don't care about any music. I don't care about anything. I raised my child for 5 years by myself. I do not need any gifts or nothing. Okay?
What is this, Cold Mountain all of a sudden? We got Renee Zellweger.
Come on, David. If we're talking about...
Would you... Oh, excuse me, Diane. Please be quiet.
Thank you. That sounds much better.
My daddy taught me how to cry. He got a tear off a crocodile. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Oh, wow.
Oh, will you
man,
come
you,
on.
I can see the children coming out of you.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Over.
What do you want, the concert earplugs? Is that it? I'll get you the
No, I don't want any
Look at David, can we discuss the issue at hand, which is John Kerry? You're forcing me to
Number
support
one,
this guy.
You are just acting like a child, okay? You're a child all over.
When I have Jay Leno calling me at 2 in the morning, quivering and blithering like a queer, because Mr. Henry...
Now, wait a second. You never told me Jay Leno called you.
He might as well. Wait, sounds...
Well, good. Let Jay Leno call you.
Jabbering away about why isn't Henry on board? Why isn't Henry on board? I got that guy, the guy that doesn't talk much, that's married to... What's his name?
Who?
The guy married to Streisand.
James Brolin?
He's calling me up screaming, you haven't got Henry on board. You haven't got the other guys on board. See, this
well,
is the kind of stuff.
It's your opinion who they want to be on board. It's not nobody's money.
Hey, let me ask you something, Diane. Did you give your daddy's coat to save a fat banjo player?
Let me tell
Diane,
you something. Don't bring my family in.
He's
it, buddy.
Making fun of you because of Cold Mountain.
Well, Jesus, if this ain't Renee Zellweger, then my name is Fat Albert.
Well, maybe your name is, but
what?
I'm not Renee Zellweger.
I bet you're as hot looking as her, though.
What has this got to do with what we're talking about?
Like I said, you're a child.
Here comes Fat Albert.
Oh, well.
You know what, Diane? If I could ask you to shut the hole under your nose, I'll give you a four-pack to...
I don't care about no four-pack.
The Valley Fair.
I'm just voicing my opinion like a talk radio show should be. And I just don't like somebody telling somebody else because he's not putting in on the poll.
Hey, Diane.
Then he's going to lose his job.
I saw some Union soldiers coming on through day four yesterday.
Well, go catch up with them.
General says they might burn down Atlanta.
All right, okay. Diane, I'm sorry for the insults. And
well, this is what happens when you take phone calls and I ask you not to.
Well, that's what happens whenever you're bringing out the child and not an adult. You're working for a child and not an adult.
Tell you what, Diane, we got a bus going to Dollywood and braces for your kid if you'll hang up.
Let me take
I apologize,
down.
Diane. This is...
Shut the hole under your nose.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Maybe we ought to... That should be a new feature. Shut the hole under your nose. You're on the air. Capture Shut the Hole Under Your Nose. A new kind of talk show. Saw some Union soldiers coming through day four yesterday on the way to burn down Atlanta. Seen General Grant, too. General Sherman said he gonna burn all the crops and everything. There ain't nothing left. Braves playing out there at that new stadium, too. I hear Dave Justice gonna be re-signed.